good Father. You can take your seats. We'll open in prayer now. Am I on there? As I was, we were busy in praise and worship, I was assessing some things that had dropped in my spirit, and you need to know this morning that despite the circumstances, despite what is happening in your life, despite what you might be experiencing or you might be seeing with your eyes, Jesus loves you. You see, He is not the circumstance. And as a believer, you are not under a circumstance, you are above the circumstance because you are loved. Because He is a good, good Father. And too many of us are evaluating the love of the Lord against the situation we find ourselves in. And we equate, because it's not going so great with this, God is not that great. And God is constant. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Today, tomorrow, every day you're after, God is the same and He loves you. And you got to get this mindset that I am loved by the Father. You see, experiencing things, but it does not alter God's heart towards me. This morning, know that you are loved. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, not Jesus loves you. Oh, okay, awesome. I've actually got a, sorry, I just had to share that. Someone needed that this morning. I suppose most of us needed that this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for precious people that you love. Thank you for bringing us here this morning, bringing us together, Lord, as the body of Christ, and speaking to us this morning as one, yet as individuals, Lord. Thank you. You've taken the time for each person present here. You've made time for them. They are on your heart, Lord. They are on your mind, Father God. And today you will speak to us as individuals, and we will experience the goodness of a good, good Father this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Now, my message. You know, every now and again, life throws you a curveball, okay? And it sort of leads into, I suppose, the opening. But that curveball can either be a good ball or a bad ball. It just depends, because sometimes things just randomly happen. Things we didn't plan about, or things that it just occurred, okay? And irrespective of where you are in life or the type of life you're living, you get a curveball every now and again. But if you're a believer, it's a little bit differently, because then you can see things differently and you know I can handle whatever's coming at me because God is with me. But we're tending to see in the life of believers and non-believers God moving in different ways, and sometimes even in unexpected ways. Sometimes God's intervening in our lives, whether He was invited or not, and whether we're living happily or we're living unhappily, God just intervenes and He catches us completely off guard. Sometimes He even just pops out and He says, "Surprise! I'm alive! And I care about you." And I think this is happening all the more often. And it's happening in individuals, it's happening in bodies, it's happening in families. It is like people we never thought would turn to Jesus, suddenly having an encounter with Him. Illness that has persisted for so long is being healed. People are getting jobs, believe it or not, in George, in this economy, or in the Southern Cape, in this economy, people are finding work. Do you know how hard it is to find a house in George? But we've seen people who've been praying, having their prayers answered, and they are moving into places that no one ever thought they'll be able to get. Things are happening, and it seems like it's an unexpected move of the hand of God. Now, I know God doesn't work in seasons. I know God is good all the time. But there does seem to be a little bit of an acceleration in the way God is intervening in our lives. And I believe there's an even a bigger increase coming. There is more expectantly of God doing dramatic things in our lives. As you know, I was in Namibia recently and Botswana, and 12 days on a bike, a whole lot of time to think, and that's why I love riding my bike. I get to think a lot. Sometimes I ride and sometimes I think, other times I just think and I forget I'm riding. How did I get here? But that's awesome. I love it when God talks to me like that. But during this trip, in that kilometers and kilometers of the most beautiful nothing that you can imagine, I love Namibia, I kept on hearing these words, expect the unexpected. And I was getting portions of scripture where God just intervened in people's lives. Sometimes unexpectedly, sometimes they had been praying, so they should have expected it. But God intervenes. And there was endless examples of God doing just that. And I am of the belief that if we would settle in our hearts once and forever that not only is God able, but God is willing, we will see breakthrough in our lives. God is able and God is willing. Did you hear that? If you believe that, you'll begin to see breakthrough in your house, in your situations, in your families, in your workplace, all over. God is on the move. We just got to believe in God and trust God. Did you hear those two words? Believe and trust. That equals faith in God. You got to have faith in God that He is able to and He wants to and He will intervene in your life. You see, faith is what moves heaven. It activates action from above. How many prayers have you prayed that you thought God didn't hear? How many prayers have you prayed that you still haven't got an answer for? And you think some must have got lost in translation, or God didn't hear that one, or God doesn't want to answer that one. How many of you have been praying for people, for family? You prayed for situations that you think is impossible. You've been praying for an illness you've been battling with. You've been praying for that thorn in your flesh you're battling to get rid of, and you haven't yet. How many of us is there here this morning? The time to expect the unexpected is here. The reality is God does answer prayers. The reality is God is going to answer your prayer. You might just not recognize His response, but He's going to answer that prayer. Sometimes it takes a long time, sometimes shorter, we don't know. But you need dramatic faith to trust in God and believe He will answer your prayers, to expect the unexpected. In fact, if you prayed, you shouldn't be expecting the unexpected, you should expect the expected because you've asked God. Now, let's look at praying for other people. And some people you've been praying for a very long time. There might be even some people you prayed for many years ago and you've forgotten about it. People that you have prayed would get to know Jesus, that they would accept Him because you know how much they need Him. It could be your loved ones, your children, your mother, your father. I want to encourage you to keep praying those prayers. I want to encourage you, don't give up praying for other people. Keep at it. Keep at it. Now I want to give you an example from our life this morning, and I got permission from my son to share this with you. You see, if I'm perfectly honest as a dad, my son has been far from God for about 11 years. From an anointed young man to a non-believer. Okay? And we've been praying as a mom and dad for him for all that time. We didn't give up praying because we know that that young man has got a call of God upon his life. We know he's anointed, but we also recognize he's been stolen. And every time we speak to him about God, he would come up with these scientific answers. Yes, but. He'd even bring up aliens sometimes. How do you explain aliens? And evolution and all these theories, everything possible to deny the God that we serve and the God we know that has called him and the God we know that loves him. And you can become despondent as a mom and a dad because you know there's so much more in store for that boy. But we kept on praying. And so a while ago, he phones his mom and he's actually crying from pain. He says he can't sit up and he doesn't know what's going on. It's been a few days and the pain in his stomach's just getting worse and worse. He's been to a doctor. They gave him medication. When he gets his ex-girlfriend to phone us to let us know, or his ex-girlfriend phones us and said, listen, your Terence is really sick. You get worried as a mom and a dad, and you've got to understand, Terence is a mama's boy. Okay? Mommy's little baba. So, his mom was obviously very troubled. I was actually busy with something else. I was somewhere or doing something, I can't remember. So, V was left to arrange this all by herself. And she managed to get him a doctor's appointment and get him to a doctor. And they said to him, look here, they think it's his appendix. He's got to go to the hospital. But now this has been going on a couple of days, at least 4 or 5 days already. And but he doesn't have medical aid, so he's got to go to a state hospital in Johannesburg. Listen here, we're blessed. You must give thanks every day to the Almighty Father for George Hospital. If you compare to some of the others, man. But anyway, he ends up at Helen Joseph Hospital. And they take him into theater because his appendix had burst. Now you've got to realize, the more time that lapses between your appendix bursting and you're going into theater, the more your body is poisoned. And what they actually have to do then, they've got to slit you open in the middle and they take everything out to clean it before they put it back again. So he doesn't look pretty anymore. I don't know how he's going to show the girls his six-pack because that's good. But he went into theater, they operated on him, did what they needed to do, but he had to stay in hospital on antibiotics because they got to clean his system of the poison. And in that they were very good, they really handled him well. But he, in some ways, is just like his mother, in other ways he's a lot like me, he's a very impatient young man. And so he's lying there and he gets frustrated because he can't do anything. He gets frustrated with the staff. He's not being fed properly. He can't sleep at night because they're always making a noise. He says, I don't care about people. They're just banging things and they're checking you as soon as you fall asleep. Then they'll purposefully come and check you if you're still alive. But he was frustrated. But I think it was on the third or the fourth night after his operation. This young man who has so desperately tried to deny God for 11 years. He sends his mother a message. He says, you know, one good thing that has come from all of this, I've realized I need to get back to church. I'm not living the life I should be living. And then he made this statement. He said, science cannot explain the God who visited by my bed last night. That statement, you got no idea how big that is and what that means. Not only for him, but for us. Because we know God is real. We know God hears our prayers. We know God cares about us and cares about our son. Because he made time to visit at his bedside when all my son has done is deny him. And God said, your mom and your dad and other people have been praying for you. And I love you and I'm going to you. How many people have you been praying for that you've perhaps given up on, thinking they're beyond God? They're too far from God, or God is not interested in them. How many people are you as a mom, as a dad, or as a son and a daughter, you're praying for them, and you're not seeing the results. And I want to tell you, expect it, because you've been praying there'll be an answer. But it's in God's time. How many of you are pleading for the lives of your sons and your daughters? And God's got an open heart, and He hears every word you utter, and is going to respond, because that's the God we serve. He's going to respond. No one you are praying for is beyond God. Doesn't matter what you've led yourself to believe, doesn't matter how much you've doubted God, no one is beyond God. What's important, though, that I want to reiterate, you see, we've had a tremendous breakthrough in our life. And the worst thing we could do now as a mom and as a dad is pressurize our son. Because God reached out to him. He's got to reach back. Okay? We can put pressure on him and push him away again. Or we can say, God, we've trusted you once, we'll trust you again. You won't stop visiting Terrence, and Terrence will respond fully to you. Don't put too much pressure on us Christians, us moms and our dads. We want to do that. We just want to get involved and get our hands dirty. And I want to pick up that phone and say, yay! And I just said, I'm proud of you, my son. And I asked, can I tell the church? And he said, sure. Because now he's put pressure on himself. Because when he shows up here now, you're going to be looking at him. And he's coming to visit, I think, sometime soon. But don't pressurize them. Let's just keep praying for them. Okay, so where am I going with this morning's message? You see, I was going to call this message Expect the Unexpected, but then I thought that's unbiblical. Because if you've been praying for something, you should expect it. You should expect an answer. You can't pray for something and then expect it not to be answered. What type of God do you serve then? Because my God hears. My God hears, and my God intervenes in His time. If I called this Expect the Unexpected, it would be counter to what I believe. It will counter a loving, miracle-working, all-powerful God who I serve. So I couldn't use that. Because God does say, whatever you ask for in faith will be given to you. Now, you know you've got limits on that, okay? He's not going to give you the winning lotto numbers. He's not going to give you something that is not good for you. Okay, so there's limits on that. But whatever we ask for, we should expect to receive within the will of God. And we can say to ourselves, maybe I haven't seen the results yet. Maybe I haven't got an answer yet. Not now, but soon. And you keep at that. You keep having faith, because God is going to show up at the right time in exactly the right way. So I couldn't call this message, and I don't know if it's going to be one message, two or three, I think probably three, but I couldn't call it Expect the Unexpected. But I had this, while I'm riding my bike, I got this excitement that was rising up in me, and I wanted to do this as soon as I got back, and I thought, no, wait, I've got another message to give first. This one needs to settle in me, needs to ripen in me first. I could feel a letting loose, a spiritual loosening coming about, almost like a spiritual anticipation of what God was going to do. And I started thinking of all these quirky names, like a shower of power. How's that? These are good sermon topics. A meteorite of miracles. Okay? An invasion of intimacy. An avalanche of anointing. Or the fullness of God's goodness. You see, and the list goes on and on and on. But then it hit me. I've got to call it boundary breaker. Boundary breaker. Because the reality is, we put boundaries in place and we think God can only operate in that. What you've done, you've taken this all-powerful, almighty God and you've put him in a little box, and you think that's only how God can operate. In the box I've put him in the boundaries my mind has created, maybe from experience, but it's not from the Word of God. And you want to know why things aren't happening, because your boundaries are too small. You're limiting God by the way you think. Now, let me just put this out right at the beginning. You need to understand, you cannot limit, you cannot physically limit God, but you can limit God by the view of what God is able to do according to you. We need to get rid of the boxes. We need to extend our boundaries just a little bit. If we want God to work in our lives, we got to understand God is a boundary breaker. But then we got to know what we've put in place and give Him permission. Break my boundaries, Lord. Prove my lack of faith. Prove it to be untrue. Prove me to me that you are untrue. We're not testing God. We're just relying on the Word of God and God's goodness in our lives. Okay. So, do you have boundaries in place? One or two of you will be honest. The rest are going to, I can't knock any. Okay. Let's test quickly and see if you've got boundaries in place. Let's go read Ephesians 3:13. I'm reading from the New King James. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Do you deep down truly, truly believe without a shadow of a doubt that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you are thinking or what you are asking? Do you really believe that? Some of you are lying to yourselves, because we don't. We've sort of got this thing, God is only do that for me. For other people, He might do exceedingly abundantly, but me, it's normally just this. And we're putting a limit on God. We've created a boundary. Do you truly believe God is all-powerful? What about 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking. We don't like the rebuking very much, because then we get offended and leave church. Correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you truly, truly, truly believe that this is the Word of God? And that everything in here is true? Do you truly believe, without any doubt, that He is able to equip you for life, physical and spiritual, so that you are able, you are able to do every good work? Do you really believe that? Or is there a boundary in place? A yes, but. John 14:12-14. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I am doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever. Sorry, I lost my place. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Where's your boundary on that one? What about Matthew 21:22? If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. It always goes about belief and trust, which equals faith. Okay? Have you put a limit on your faith? Have you limited God because you've got a limited faith? Is there a boundary in place that needs to be smashed so God can do exceedingly abundantly above measure in your life? You see, a doubt is a boundary. A doubt is a boundary. Abraham had every reason to doubt God. God said to him, you'll be the father of nations. Your family will be as numerous as the stars. And he looked at this old girl standing next to me, between 90 and Boltong. And he could have doubted God's word. Picture this. Uncle Terry, Auntie Joan, stand up quickly. God says to Uncle Terry, from you and Auntie Joan, I'll make a nation. Now imagine they look at each other. They would doubt, obviously. Thank you so much. But this is what Abraham was looking at. I'm not saying, Auntie Joan, you're beautiful, okay? You're beautiful, we love you, you're stunning. But this is what Abraham was looking at. And he had a choice. Am I going to put a boundary in place? Am I going to doubt God's word? Or am I going to trust God? In Romans 4:20, it says, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He did not waver. As soon as you start to waver, you move into doubt. Doubt leads to unbelief, and unbelief expels faith. He did not waver. He relied on the word of God. And here is the word of God. Here is what God has written to you. This is what God is telling you every single day that you get into the word of God. And I hope you're making time to learn the word, to get the word into you so you can become the word of God. He tells us. He promises us. But as soon as we waver, as soon as we doubt, we've got a boundary in place. You see, because we are naturally disposed to start questioning. The world trains us up that way. Don't blindly accept. Question everything. In Psalm 78:19-22, it says, they spoke against God. They said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? True, he struck a rock and water gushed out. Streams flowed abundantly. So in other words, he has worked before in my life. But can he also give us bread? Can he supply meat for his people? When the Lord heard them, he was furious. His fire broke out against Jacob, and his wrath rose against Israel, for they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. When we start with the questions, we bring in doubt into the equation. When doubt is part of it, it results in unbelief. And unbelief and faith are not cohabitable. They cannot live together. You cannot have doubt or unbelief and faith. It's impossible for those two to live together. We've got to decide, do I trust the word of God or do I trust in the will of man? What is choice are you making? Which boundary have you put in place this morning or over the course of your life? Do you doubt God's word? We could have doubted, and we likely did doubt on occasion. Would God ever be able to get through to our son? And God said overwhelmingly, yes, he can. Years ago, there was a young journalist interviewing Reinhard Bonnke. Everyone knows who Reinhard Bonnke is. Okay? One of the greatest evangelists of the modern time. But it was a hostile interview, and she was out to disprove his theories on God and basically take a shot at his belief system. And she was trying to corner him with all these questions, and he kept on evading her questions and coming back to God. But she was trying to get him into a corner, but Reinhard held fast and wouldn't let that happen. So eventually she says to him, if you have this faith, okay, if you got this faith, don't you ever have doubts concerning your faith and your belief? And he answered, this great evangelist, he said, yes, he does have doubts from time to time, but he always chooses to doubt his doubts. He always chooses to doubt his doubts. And I'll be honest with you, there's times I've read the word and I've doubted, is God able to do that in my life? And I've got to remind myself, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. But what I think of God is nothing compared to who God really is. And He's able to do what He says He's done, because I can see through history. There is proof beyond the written proof. There's archaeological proof. There is historical proof. There's every kind of proof that we need that God is able, and God always has, and God will continue to do until the Lord returns. Because He loves His people, and we are His people. And He won't stop working in your life if you give Him the space to work. But then you've got to increase the boundary. You see, if your boundary is too small, you're limiting God's ability to work in your life. Sometimes He comes in and just blows your boundary apart. And He says, woo, here I am. But often, we can't experience the fullness of God because we haven't created the space for God in our life. We got it filled with other things, with doubts, with perceptions, with mindsets. As soon as you give weight to your doubt, then you're giving attention to unbelief. And that's got to stop. So, do you believe with me that we, as the body of Christ, are going to see breakthrough? Boundaries are going to be broken. Lives are going to be changed. Things are going to happen that we should have been expecting, but our doubt prevented us from seeing the hand of God in our lives. Are you with me? Are we going to see breakthrough? Are we going to have boundaries broken? Are we going to have a shower of power, meteorite of miracles, the fullness of God's goodness, and all those others I can't remember? Are we going to experience it? I don't want you to get caught up this morning emotionally. I want you to get caught up faithfully. Because you're not trusting in what I'm saying, you're trusting in what you've read in the Word of God. You've got to believe that. See, emotions will mislead you. Because the first thing that happens to you outside of this that's slightly negative, there crashes your whole world and you put another boundary in place then. You've got to move out in faith, and you've got to put your trust in God. Some men trust in horses, others in chariots. I will trust in the name of the Lord, says David. Are you David this morning? Are you going to trust in the name of the Lord? Are you going to dispel the doubts and allow Jesus in? Because if that's you, God's talking to you this morning, and He's saying to you, I'm not only able, I'm willing. And if you give me the space, I will be exceedingly abundantly above measure in your life and in the lives of those that you love. You see, on the night that Jesus gave Himself up for us, as the praise and worship team comes back, He says, I'm making with you a new covenant. Something new was going to happen. You see, with the old covenant, you had to give something to be sacrificed. With a new covenant, you've got to receive something. You've got to receive the victory. You've got to receive the grace. You've got to receive the goodness. You've got to receive the love. And when you receive those things, God is able then move mightily in your life. And we're going to invite you forward this morning. And I want you to bring your doubt. But I want you to bring your prayers that you haven't got answers to yet either. And I want you to take of the wine and eat of the bread, remembering who Jesus is, what He's done, and what He's able to do. And you've got to pray and ask Him, give me a new mind. Dispel my doubts, my fears and my anxiety, and help me be faithful unto You, because You have been faithful unto me. Help me to see Your hands in all areas of my life and in the life of those I'm praying for. That's how we need to come this morning, as we eat and as we drink. And you're going to do this in your own time. You'll come forward, you can sit in your chair. They're going to sing Good, Good Father, and then I will end in prayer. So please come forward to the table of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the Good, Good Father. You are the one who was, who is, and will forever be. And forgive us, Lord, where we have plummeted you. Forgive us, Lord, where we thought you haven't heard our prayers. And today we just want to acknowledge who you are, Lord. The Almighty. The Almighty. The All-Powerful. The Creator. The Father. And so much more. And thank you that as a Father, Lord, you do not ignore your children. You love us. And you give to us, Lord, what is best for us. We thank you, Lord, that you hear when we speak. And you answer in your time. But you answer, Lord, in a way that is beneficial to us. In a way that is a blessing to us and to others. We thank you, Lord, that no one that we have prayed for is beyond you. That every mother and father, son and daughter who has been praying, every individual, Lord, who has sent up a prayer for another, those prayers have been heard. And we thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you for an intervention in those people's lives. We thank you, Lord, that we will see people coming into the kingdom, bowing before the King of Kings. We thank you, Lord, that you are who you say you are, a good, good Father, and you will welcome them, you will love them, you will reach them, Lord, and you will change them. Not because of who we are, Lord, but because of who you are. A father to the fatherless. A father to the nations. But a father to individuals, Lord. We give you the glory today and forever.